Welcome to the Context Machine. I'm Brian Chaffin, as we have established in the past. This is episode number 622.
Which is not a palindrome. And apparently, I'm Jeff Gamet, the guy who is easily entertained. I'm going to read this verbatim from the script. Please make sure you check us out at our new home, contextmachine.io.
Come on, man. You know that the script is a suggestion at best.
I tried to make the best of it. How'd I do?
You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us or find us on post.news and Mastodon at Context. I'm actually kind of proud at Context Machine. That's our handle. I'm kind of proud that I changed that eventually. That line right there.
I'm very proud of you too. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Brian.
Yeah.
Our episode today.
Yeah.
We're sponsored by HelloFresh.
Oh, good. I love them. Yeah, we're going to tell you more about them later in the show. So, So Jeff, I have a situation, so to speak.
Okay, what's her name? this is one of those things where you are going to use the show as a pretense to have me teach you something that you need to know about, isn't it?
Yes, I am. So I am I've got this terrible air conditioning system here. It's not the air conditioning unit, which is apparently quite good and still working strong. It is the control system, which is the Carrion. that seems accurate. The Carrier Comfort Zone 2, which is a garbage multi-floor, multi-zone control system. And it's just...
So this is number two? So... If it's that bad, I can only imagine how bad the first version was.
You know, for all we know, the first version that it replaces was great.
Okay, yeah, could be.
Okay, and this system is about 15 years old, I think. I don't even know.
It sucks.
Yes, it does suck. It has a each floor has its own controller, which would seemingly be good, but the master controller is on the first floor, and which is really weird to me because you got to go down the first floor to change anything, unless you're just changing the temperature. Anyway, it's there are a lot of things that are wrong with the system. It doesn't have any Wi-Fi connectivity because it was before that, and it also doesn't have the ability to simply exist in this mode where leave it at this temperature unless I change it.
I'm actually quite surprised because that seems like basic functionality for any thermostat system.
Yeah. So what'll happen is it does have the ability to set everything by time zones, time zones within the day. Mm-hmm. And that's theoretically great. But if the system is on, those time zones are going to kick in no matter what. It drives me nuts. Like there was someone had set the heater during winter to kick on and be at 94 degrees starting at like 5 in the morning on Sunday morning.
Because they hate life.
Yes, or they hate me or something. Anyway, so just because there have been people here that lived here previous to me, There were all kinds of hidden gems in the time settings. And it was it's just been incredibly frustrating to deal with. So, I'm getting a new system. And
nice.
And it's going to be an Ecobee system. And I was hoping that you could tell me what that's going to be like.
It's going to be like heaven in comparison.
Okay.
All right. So with the Ecobee, you have your master control unit, which can be on the first floor if you want. It doesn't matter at that point because you have complete control over it from an app on your phone or your tablet. Or a web interface on your computer.
Okay. Well, all right. Let me talk to you about principle here, philosophy, mm-hmm. before you go on. The idea that this system would be tied to the first floor be completely defies all logic to me because people don't. In my unit, the first floor is living room and kitchen, and the second floor is the master bedroom and either another bedroom or an office, and the third floor has got two smaller bedrooms. And I feel like people are spending more time on the second floor than they would in the first floor. Plus, it's two floors to go down to from the third floor if you need to do something that's going to affect your third floor. It's just
okay. With your current system, absolutely true. When you have the Ecobee, it doesn't matter because you never actually. I mean, once it's set up and on your network, it can be hidden. Like in my new place, I haven't had a chance to install my Ecobee yet, but it's going to be behind my computer display, and I don't care because I never actually have to touch the physical unit.
That makes sense.
And it has remote sensors. So for the floors that where you don't have the actual Ecobee unit, you have the little satellite sensor things, and it detects when you're in that area. So then it adjusts the temperature so that it's that temperature where you are.
Okay.
So
is that adjustable on that floor in my particular case? I realize that this kind of system can also be used for a house with like wings. Not necessarily different floors, but so in other words, can the person on the third floor? Because if I have someone in on the third floor, it's a guest,
mm-hmm.
and I would like for them to be able to control their own temperature.
The short answer is yes. The longer answer is you need to talk to the HVAC people about exactly what's involved with the wiring and everything in that place, because it might mean that you need to have a second, like actual Ecobee thermostat base, as opposed to just the sensors, but they can help you figure that out. Like the way I have mine set up, it's the single base, but then I have a sensor that's in my room. In my bedroom. So when I go into the bedroom, it knows that I'm there, like at night, and it makes sure that the temperature that I've set on the Ecobee, that's the temperature that I get in the bedroom because that's where I am.
Okay.
So it might mean that the living room is a little bit warmer or a little bit cooler than the bedroom. But the bedroom that's where I'll have the temperature that I want.
Gotcha. So hopefully I will be getting a system that has individual controllers and not just sensors. I don't actually know yet.
Yeah, the HVAC people will help you sort that out.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing with this. Yeah. And I'm glad you're going with Ecobee. That, you know, there's all these other options that are out there. I think Ecobee is the most robust and the most flexible. And if I didn't have an Ecobee, I would end up with a Honeywell.
Yeah.
And if my only choice was a Nest, then I would just learn to cope without having a smart thermostat.
Gotcha.
Now, see, where you are, you have much more stable temperature, generally speaking.
Generally speaking.
Than I do in Colorado. So a Nest thermostat, because you're in a coastal area, it'll work fine. It's just not my first choice.
Yeah, they gave me an option of doing Nest. I said no.
Okay, good. I think you made the right choice. If you're in Colorado and they offered you a Nest, I would question why they would do that, because a Nest just doesn't account for the radical temperature changes that you have in a place like Colorado.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you know if this will connect over HomeKit?
Oh, yes.
What about the other protocols? Are they just flapping around waiting for someone to ping me?
First, someone would have to get network access. An Ecobee, it supports all of the popular smart home platforms, and even in most cases, a device that supports just HomeKit, it's because the software that's written for the device itself is accessing just that part of the controller chip, but the rest of it's still there.
Yeah.
So a lot of devices that say we're HomeKit only, it's the same as the device that same company sells. That's Alady and Google Home compatible. They just switched out which software or firmware is on the device. So the concerns that I used to wail and gnash my teeth about, well, it's on HomeKit, but it also supports Alady and Glady, big security problems. The security issues, I don't think are that different anymore. Although as far as my personal privacy and security goes, I would rather limit the which platforms have access to the device.
Oh, totally, man.
So yes, if you're doing HomeKit, then don't set it up with the Alady. Just set it up with HomeKit.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. What about the people that come after me? They'd be able to turn around and set it up for Alady or Google Home.
Yeah. Yeah, when you leave, you would just disconnect it from your account, from your Apple ID, make HomeKit forget about it, and then they can set it up and pair it with whatever service they want to use.
Okay, cool.
Well, and then if they choose not to pair it with any service, they can just, it's a touchscreen, they can just go to the thing and slide the little sliders and make the temperature go up or down, whatever they want.
Cool. Seems like I'm going to be in good hands.
I think so. Yeah. I think you're really going to like the Ecobee. And the control interface in the iPhone app, it matches what you have on the device itself. So it's not like you have to learn two different interfaces. Mm. That was difficult for me at first, because when I got an Ecobee, it was a different interface on the device versus the phone. And I got really familiar with the phone interface. And when they changed it to match the actual device, at first I was like, they ruined it on me. And no, it was just, I needed to accept the fact that having a unified interface on both devices was just fine.
I'm wondering if I shouldn't practice that, though.
Oh, you should totally practice it.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, totally good. Practice
all right. It. I'm good to go. All right. Well, thanks for telling me about that, man. How about now you tell us about HelloFresh?
Because you know I'm hungry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, okay, Brian, here's the deal. It's no secret. Everyone knows that I've been in the middle of moving from my place in Boulder to a new place in Longmont. And holy crap, your whole lifestyle changes when you're in the middle of moving. And it is so hard to make meals and even plan for them. Which is why HelloFresh has been so great, because they're just delivering boxes of food to your door. It's the food that you want. You get to pick from menus each week, and then they just ship the fresh ingredients right to you. So instead of having to think about, what do I need to go and get at the store? Do I have time to go to the store? What do I want to eat? Look at the menus, pick out what you want. It shows up on your doorstep. And it has all the recipes and everything. It's great. And even after you're done with the whole move, if you get in that rut, you know, where you just keep eating the same thing every single week, HelloFresh is great for that, because you get to choose like from 40 different recipes each week. So you can really mix up your menu and have a lot of variety that you wouldn't otherwise have. And it's all the ingredients are fresh, top quality. I've never had a HelloFresh box show up where I took out a piece of produce or something and felt like I need to go to the store and replace this thing because it's not good. Everything has always just been fantastic. Just in case you need snacks, they do that too. It's like awesome. So, Brian, here's what all of our listeners need to do. Everyone, go to HelloFresh.com/context16 and use the code context16, all one word, context with the number 16 at the end of it, for 16 free meals plus free shipping. So that's HelloFresh.com context machine. Let me try that again, because I got all tongue-tied. I'm so excited about making dinner tonight. Go to HelloFresh.com/context16. Use the code context16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. And thank you, HelloFresh, for being our sponsor.
Yes, thank you, HelloFresh, for being our sponsor. We appreciate that greatly.
Yes, and thank you for helping me eat while I'm in the middle of a crazy move.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
And thank you, Ichabod, for your supportive message during the show.
You know, Ichabod is such a great supporter.
He is a great supporter. He is, in fact, yeah, a great supporter. Okay, now...
Now, what do you want me to help you with?
Well, I want you to help me by telling us all the ways in which you were a great supporter of your friend via their Apple Watch.
Yeah. Okay. I can do that. All right. So I'm an emergency contact for several of my friends. And several days ago, I'm sitting here in my new place trying to unpack a few things, and I get a text message on my phone that that's from the SOS feature from the Apple Watch. Yeah, it said that my friend had fallen and 911 had been called, and so
you were the emergency contact that was set up.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yep. And the other emergency contacts, they got this same message. So it said that a fall had been detected, 911 had been called, and then gave me a map with a pin drop on the location where they were when this happened.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I've had a couple times since Apple introduced the whole fall detection and SOS call thing where I've gotten a message and I've called whoever it was and they answer their phone right away and they're like, yeah, I didn't get to the cancel thing in time.
So I'm sure you were probably thinking that was the case here.
Right. But I called because that's what I do.
Yeah.
No one answers. So I immediately text message and no one replies. So I wait like about a minute and then call again and there's no answer. Now I knew this friend was with another mutual friend. And so I called that person and they were like, yeah, they're on the phone with 911 right now. And this doesn't look good. Oh. Turns out, they had taken a spill on a bike ride and broke their ankle.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So this wasn't just a fall detection. It was a fallen injury.
This is like the reason why Apple created this feature for us. So that when stuff like this happens, that people are getting taken care of immediately.
Okay, so walk us through what happens.
Okay, so what happens is you get a text message, and it gives you the information that you need so that you know that crap is real in this case. Well, wait.
What information is giving you to let you know? Because for all you know, the person dropped the iPhone and didn't notice it, and that's why they didn't answer it when you called or when you texted because they just didn't know. I mean, right?
Right. However, when you get a message like this one. So I scrolled back to where it is and because I'm respecting my friend's privacy, I won't say their name. It said hard fall SOS and then my friend's name called emergency service from this approximate location after Apple Watch detected a hard fall. You're receiving this message because Superstar has listed you as an emergency contact. So what it told me in this case was my friend had fallen, the Apple Watch detected the fall, and it gives you a little countdown where you can cancel out, or tell it to immediately call 911, or if you just don't do anything, when it gets to the end of the cancel window, it just calls 911. Okay. But in this case, it lets me know that my friend initiated the 911 call from their watch. After the fall was detected. So at that point, I was pretty sure this was a serious fall. But I still did the usual thing. I called and anyhow.
Wait, tell me again. The Apple Watch told you that the owner of the Apple Watch had initiated the call from their Apple Watch on their
yes.
own.
Yes, okay. After the hard fall was detected.
So it
detected the hard fall. My interpretation of this is, and I verified it later on, a hard fall was detected by the watch. The watch then started doing the alert thing to let my friend know that it was going to call 911
if they didn't.
It's like a little beep, but it's also tapping your wrist.
Okay.
And so then they look at the watch, they have a cancel option, and then they have the thing where it says SOS. So they went ahead and instead of waiting for the countdown to finish and 911 to get called, they hit the SOS thing. So it stopped the countdown and called 911.
Mm. Okay. All right.
So the call happened several seconds faster than it would have otherwise. So then, at this point, I now know that I'm going to have to go and be the ride to pick up the other friend that was there. But I'm getting alerts still coming through as text messages from the Apple Watch, and each one starts with hard fall SOS. And then it tells me that the location of the person has changed. So I knew when the when my friend had been moved from where they fell to where the ambulance was. And then I get another hard fall SOS, location has changed, and it's a pin drop on the hospital that they went to. And so the pin drop was so accurate. Yeah, so when the ambulance got to the hospital and they got moved into the room in the ER that they were going to be in while they're being cared for, the pin drop was on the fracking room. What? So if my friend had been...
Hold on. You're telling me that Apple set this up to be smart enough to not just tell you that, hey, we've arrived and stopped... But actually, like,
it doesn't tell me the room number, but the pin drop is where the room is.
Sure.
So if I just tap on that, it opens the Maps app, and it'll guide me through the hospital to the room.
That's so cool.
So if that person had been completely incapacitated, unable to communicate at all, I would have still been getting updates about where they were and where they ended up. So I could have gone to the right hospital, even if they hadn't been able at that point to tell me where they were. So this is the first like real serious real world use of this that I've been able to experience. And holy crap, this was fantastic. I mean, it worked better than I imagined it would.
Yeah, it sounds phenomenal. Yeah.
So, Brian, what I need to do now is make sure that you have your emergency contact set up so that if you take a fall while you're wearing your Apple Watch and you're incapacitated in some way, that someone knows where you are.
Yeah. Yeah, so do that.
Do you have your iPhone handy?
Well, I don't know who I'm going to pick.
Well, I'm going to walk you through it. You can add someone later on.
All right.
But by me walking you through it now, I'm walking everyone else through it too. See what I'm doing here? See what
you're doing is so clever.
Yeah. Okay.
iPhone. So open.
iPhone. You need to launch the health app.
Health app, not your... Watch out.
Yeah. Launch the health app.
Okay.
Okay. So when it opens, it's probably like on the summary screen.
Yeah.
Look in the upper right hand corner. There's like your Apple ID avatar in a little circle, upper right hand corner. Tap on that.
Hold on. I was busily. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Okay. Then. That should take you to a screen where you see like health details, medical ID, all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. When you tap on medical ID.
Yeah.
Now you'll see partway down the page or the screen, it should say emergency contacts.
Yes.
Yes. And if that's empty and you don't see anything in there that says add a contact, just go ahead and tap edit in the upper right-hand corner.
Right.
And now when you look at emergency contact, you'll see add emergency contact.
Look at that, add emergency contact.
And so you can have multiple people in here.
Okay, then who does it choose to send?
Everyone.
Every. Okay. As Gary Oldman said in The Professional.
Yes. Everyone. So all of your emergency contacts will get a notice. Like in the case of my friend, they had, it was like one or two family members and a couple close friends. And so we were all getting these updates at the same time.
Got it. Cool. All right. Thank you, man.
You are welcome.
And I'm sorry that your friend went through that, but she just helped out. Well, she helped me out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing she probably helped some of our other listeners out too.
I hope so. It's always a nice thing when we can all learn from someone else's experience so that we're prepared if we ever have to deal with that ourselves.
Yes. Yes, indeed. All right. I think that is probably the ideal time for me to do this. Oh, I miss it. I miss it every time. I miss it. Like I was, my timing was spot on and I missed the button.
Well, why didn't you say words and act like it was supposed to be that way?
I could have. I was too busy trying to click again. That's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on all the social medias at Context Machine, except for Twitter. We're there, but...
But we're not there. We're not there, Twitter. There.
Screw Twitter. And that's all for this week. Oh, no, wait, hold on. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is, I'm going to get this down, man. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for the show, and that's all for this week.
Except that it's not quite all for this week, because I want to remind everyone, HelloFresh was our sponsor. Thank you, HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/context16. Use that code, context16, to get 16 free meals plus free shipping. Okay, now say the thing where that's all.
That's all for this week. Jeff for the win.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.